KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we will rebuild.
One of these days, we will have a new intro.
What are we
Every time I make a new one,
people leave!
And then come back, and then die, and then get resurrected.
Be serious. People have been resurrected.
I guess. Talk about people that are resurrected. I made the mistake of watching Terminator Genesis over the weekend.
Why would you do that to yourself?
It was real bad.
Why would you do that to yourself? What did you do to deserve that punishment?
Because he's a Terminator and he gets older because his skin is an old Terminator.
That's what you did to deserve that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That horrible, horrible Arnold impersonation.
Well, you know, you deserve two interviews. That's right. Not one, but two.
It's a two-for-one special out here, isn't it? It's just a two-for-one special.
That's right.
That voice is terrifying.
That's voice riffraff.
Uh-huh.
But we got James Taylor from the Jet City Comic Show. He's actually one of the organizers. He's been doing it since the beginning. I'm super excited to have him. We're joined by Mike and Mickey After Dark
for that
interview. And then we have a call-in interview at 8:20. From Phasers on Kill.
Ooh.
As opposed to Phasers on Stun.
Yeah, I thought always Phasers were set to Stun, I thought.
Nah, man, these guys are going to kill it.
Wow.
They're going to be playing at Numos, and they're going to be playing opening for Face to Face, so I'm super excited about that show. They're going to be talking about that, and their local homies out of Tacoma.
Nice.
Always give some Tacoma love.
But Tacomas.
Super excited for this morning. Super jam-packed. Super awesome. We'll be back after By My Side by the Interrupters, 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
News, everyone. We've got a very special delivery today.
That's right. We've got a very special edition of Geeky News this morning. I was joined with Mike and Mickey from Mike and Mickey After Dark every Monday night, 9 to midnight, taking our late night requests, giving you some a little extra. We had an interview with Jet City Comic Show organizer James Taylor. Here it is now.
What's up, everybody? This is Mike, the host of Mike and Mickey After Dark, which you can listen to on 89.9 KGRG FM every Monday night from 9 to midnight. And I am joined in studio today by my lovely co-host, Mickey.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I am fantastic. And we're also joined here in studio by the host of KGRG FM's specialty show of the year. Give it up for Cork from The Buzz. How you doing, dude?
Man, I thought I was the lovely one. What happened?
Oh.
You've been working overnight. That's the law of diminishing returns.
Aww.
But we're all here today in the studio, and we have an awesome guest joining us on the phone to talk about Jet City Comic Show, which is coming up on November 5th and 6th. That is a Saturday and Sunday. Incidentally, we are giving away 2-day passes to Jet City Comic Show all throughout the rest of the month and all the way up until the day of the show. But here to tell us a little more about the history and some of the excitement that you can expect at Jet City Comic Show, give it up, everybody, for James Taylor.
Woo! Awesome!
How you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing excellent. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
Yes, no problem. So let's start from the very basic things of what is Jet City Comic Show?
So Jet City Comic Show, we are a little bit different than what people think of Comic-Cons nowadays. We're kind of a throwback. Comic-Cons have always been around, but now people kind of associate it with having like a bunch of media guests and, you know, a bunch of actors and everything. But we're kind of more traditional in that we still focus on comic books and creators, but we also, you know, we bring in some authors and we bring in a few actors, which is tradition to have a few show. But we're kind of, you know, just that traditional old school show with some of the new modern, you know, things. So it's less swap meet, more show convention.
But, that's so cool.
Yeah,
I like that. That's a really cool description. Cork, one of the things that you're excited to learn about is kind of the history of the show and kind of how it came to be, right?
Well, yeah, every superhero has their origin story, right? So I wanted to know what the origin story of Jet City Comic Show was. Like, why did you guys choose Tacoma? Where did the idea sort of spawn from? That sort of thing.
Sure. Well, originally, my partner, Brian, and I, we helped start, well, the now granddaddy of Seattle, the Emerald City Comic Show. My partner was one of the founders, and then I did a lot of the marketing design work from before it even started for, I don't know, maybe 10 of the years. So as that show was going, we heard from vendors and fans, and it was getting more expensive, and then, you know, it was also moving more towards the celebrity route of comic book conventions. So what we wanted to do was a stripped-down show, and we started 7 years ago. So we started Jet City Comic Show, Brian and I, and he was still part of Emerald City at that time. We just wanted to strip it down and make it basics. We wanted to focus more on local creators. Yeah, we bring in a few from out of town, but we wanted to just kind of focus on the locals as much as we could, whether it's vendors or creators. So we started actually in Seattle for our first 3 years, and then we had a scheduling conflict, and we've always been kind of looked at when we were in Seattle like we were kind of like the redheaded stepchild of Emerald City, if that makes sense. Since we were having scheduling conflicts and we didn't really like our dates and we wanted a different date from the convention center, we decided let's make the move down to Tacoma. There hadn't been one there in, since I think 1995. So it had been almost 20 years since there was a comic book convention in Tacoma itself. So we moved down there 4 years ago, and honestly, it took off. Our attendance doubled, and it was just an awesome first year, and we've kept it there ever since.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
very, very cool. Now, I remember one of the things that in learning about Jet City Comic Show is that you guys are intentionally small and kind of that goal to kind of stay that back to basics type of Comic-Con, right?
Right. We could grow it much faster, you know. I mean, if we were to bring in, let's say, like a William Shatner or somebody, our numbers would take off. But we want it to be more of an intimate show. We're pretty good size. I mean, you know, I call us like a little big show, you know, like we're Reno to Emerald City's Las Vegas, something like that.
Okay.
But basically, we want to just be an accessible show for fans and creators and everybody. So you have plenty of time to chat and everything. We try to keep it as affordable as possible, so we still keep it pretty stripped down. We don't bring in actors that are charging $100 for an autograph or anything like that.
Yeah, I think I saw like $10 for a selfie or something.
Yeah, whoa. With some of them.
Whoa.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's pretty cool because a lot of shows, they bring in those photo vendors, and it's at least $40 to $80 to get your photo taken with somebody. But that's because the photo vendor is taking a big cut. The show takes a cut.
Yeah.
And everything. Well, you know what? I don't need any of that money. It should just go 100% to the actor.
That's so cool.
Know? And so, you know, by being able to do a selfie photo with your cell phone or your own camera, you know, they're willing to charge a lot lower prices. Definitely, to me, it seems a lot more personal rather than being in a line and going through that line, click, next person, click, next person, click.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? So, yeah.
So, I've only been to anime conventions, and I was wondering if you could maybe explain the difference between a comic convention and an anime convention.
Right. So, comic book convention obviously focuses more on comic books. Anime is more manga and anime. So, it's different styles of art, really. And the culture is different, whereas anime manga comes from Japan, China, and those areas. And, you know, and whereas the comic book culture comes from the U.S., Canada and Britain area. And so it really comes down to just more artistic style, I think, really. And then, you know, there's some cultural differences as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there still cosplay held at comic shows? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Including this comic show? Like, are there going to be some pretty cool cosplays?
Yeah, Saturday is probably going to be the biggest day for the cosplayers. And once again, you know, we don't bring in cosplayers from out of town as guests. It's just locals for the most part. And of course, somebody might travel, you know.
Yeah.
From farther away, but yeah, so the costume contest is on Saturday. There's a kids one at, I think, 1:30, and then the adult one starts at 5 or 5:30, so right after the show closes, the adult one will start up, and, you know, I mean...
That's so cool.
There's a ton of costumes and a ton of great people at designing all these costumes. It's incredible what they can do.
That was our interview with Jet City Comic Show organizer James Taylor. If you want to go to the Jet City Comic Show, we still got tickets. That's the Jet City Comic Show, November 5th and 6th. This was ironically sponsored by the Jet City Comic Show, oddly enough.
Jet City Comic Showception?
What? You can get your tickets at jetcitycomicshow.com. We'll be back with the news after Andrew Jackson Jihad.
Okay.
Wait, who's what?
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is sponsored by the Jet City Comic Show, returning to the Tacoma Convention Center November 5th and 6th. For tickets and guest announcements, you can visit JetCityComicShow.com.
Excellent.
Ending guitar thing actually worked there at the end with the breaking news.
Right? Dude, I've been getting good with those guitars.
Guitar riff, woo!
I might have to pull up the Van Halen later.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
But our first news, Jerry, job interviews are important, right? Dave, you just went through one.
I did?
Yeah, how'd that go?
It went good.
At least it wasn't a bank robbery, right?
Wait, what?
That's right. First news story brings us to Florida.
Of course!
Where a Florida dad takes his daughter to a bank robbery because he thought it was a job interview.
I saw that article.
Wait, what?
I saw that article.
That's a Florida amazing. Woman was arrested Friday after police said her father drove her to a bank thinking it was a job interview, but it turned out to be a robbery. When Chelsea Wilson's father took the 24-year-old to a Fort Lauderdale area bank Thursday around 4 p.m., she entered the building with a red wig, hat, and sunglasses on.
So wait, she was the bank robber in this?
She was the bank robber.
It was like her fourth bank rob, too, wasn't it?
Once inside, she handed the teller a note that read, "You have exactly 1 minute to give me all your $50 and $100 bills from both drawers, or I will shoot you. No dime packs, no alarms. Follow these instructions, and no one will get hurt. Act normal."
Now, how can you contribute to the team here?
Oh, here's the best part. She only made off with $300. But she was identified by someone who recognized her in the news report. Authorities said FBI agents found the getaway car, which was registered in her father's name, at her house on Thursday. She said she committed 4 other robberies and used the money to buy groceries. According to the authorities, her father told them that he thought she was taking Wilson to a job interview. He said he assumed the money was an advance payment at her new job.
Wow.
Okay.
So she actually did have a job interview.
Oh, man.
And I'm just trying to figure out, why would you say only the 50s and the 100s? I'm pretty sure there's 20s in there.
Yeah, 10s.
There's 10s. You can probably get away with a lot more than $300.
They add up.
Yeah.
Next news story. Apparently, they have criminals in Canada.
Wait, what?
Yeah, right?
Not like in the States, but yeah.
Somebody like accidentally bump into somebody else at Tim Hortons and not say sorry? Is that what this crime is?
They knocked the bear claw out of their hands.
A university student was charged after he slapped a police's horse.
What? Where did he slap the horse?
Algonquin College student was one of 3 people charged criminally by Kingston police Saturday after one of the force's horses was slapped 3 times.
One of the forces' horses?
One of the forces' horses.
That's awesome.
The student, a man from Coenberg, and a female queen student were charged after Murnray, a new police horse was still in training, was slapped 3 times on the hindquarters.
Hey, I'm just saying, what do you think would happen in Canada if you overfed a horse, like in half-baked?
That's why I'm just thinking of Kenny right now. And, yeah. Well, fun fact, that was actually filmed in Toronto outside of a pizza, not in New York like they were saying they were.
Well, the 3 faced charges under a new section of the criminal code that makes it an offense to injure a law enforcement animal. The section carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison.
Oh,
being slapped, Murray remained calm and didn't bolter buck, Kingston police said. The identities of those charged haven't been released yet, but will likely be made public soon.
Wow.
So yeah.
5 years for that.
That's my horse.
So don't slap your horse in public.
That sounds wrong.
And then we got...
Oh, Canada.
Oh, we got one more Canada story, because this is just great.
Florida or Canada today, huh?
Would-be pants robbers attack a comedian.
What?
In Canada was attacked by a pair of robbers who attempted to steal his pants. Comedian Ian Black was out walking a friend in Halifax when he was approached by two men who punched them and demanded Black's pants before fleeing the scene empty-handed. We were approached by a couple of gentlemen who seemed to have taken a shining to my pants, Black told the CBC. They stopped us and insisted I hand over the jeans, which I did not. Soon a tussle ensued. The attackers jumped a nearby fence and then they fled the scene without the pants, leaving Black with minor injuries. One of the suspects returned to the scene as Black was speaking with police and was arrested. He is set to appear in Halifax Provincial Court.
How does that conversation go? It's like, hey, let's rob that guy. All right, what are we taking? Are we taking his phone, watch, wallet? Nah, man, I just want them pants. It looks like they got the...
Well, it brings a new meaning to, hey, girl, let me get into your jeans.
Oh.
But
And then the last thing I got for you is we have our nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The obvious ones are Pearl Jam. You have Tupac Shakur, which is the controversial one, I guess. A lot of people aren't sure if he's going to make it in or not. Or some of the other arguments I've seen are like, you don't see Metallica in the Country Music Hall of Fame. Why should hip-hop be in there? But you also have like NWA in there.
Yeah, about to say NWA just got nominated and put in.
So,
well, I mean, it can also be argued that maybe Johnny Cash doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But back then, it was kind of hit or miss. You never knew. You know, they kind of blended in nicely. So it's, yeah, it's whatever.
But Dave and I looked through some of the lists and found some surprising ones. Chaka Khan's on there.
Yep.
Oh. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
Okay.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
How shocking.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah, I hope they get in. They were good.
They're so
oh, yeah,
cool.
They're great. Jane's Addiction's on there for the first time.
Yep.
Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson Weekends.
Isn't she pregnant now?
Trying to join introduction to production here at Green River College. What is that, 151?
Yes.
That's 151.
I've been gone 5 months and I know that.
Journey was nominated for the first time.
Journey!
That's actually surprising.
Don't stop believing, guys. You're going to make it in there.
Just take that big wheel in the sky and go.
The last one that surprised me was Steppenwolf.
Oh,
what? Steppenwolf's not in?
Not in?
They're not in. This is their first time being nominated.
Another one I was surprised
I want
at.
Them to get into.
And they're on their third time being nominated? Yes. Yes. I'm surprised they're not in yet.
Get up in there.
Yes!
Thank you, Daniel.
It does make me feel slightly depressed that I'm hearing about Pearl Jam being inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because now I'm just like, ugh, that means I'm getting old.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, you have one sports story?
I do. The ALCS continued last night. Toronto won 5-1. Cleveland still leads the series, though, 3-1. 34 times a team has been down 3-0. Only one team has ever come back to win the series.
That was the Red Sox.
That was the Red Sox in 2004, also breaking a curse.
See, I saw that game. Nobody looked happy. Nobody looked happy.
I was. I want the Jays to go. I want them to... And Cleveland's dominance in sports this year.
I'm totally bandwagoning the Cubs right now.
Oh, so am I.
I really want to see the Cubs pull it off.
It's their year.
It needs to be. It's been too long.
That was your news and sports for the hour.
It is?
Yeah, man. Just a quick reminder, we do have the Green River KGRG, KGRG1 Fall Pledge Drive Show happening this Saturday on Green River Campus. First time we've had a show in Green River Campus in about a year now.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, since the Dead Air showcase. But super excited for that. You got Blue Helix, Marsalis, Acid Teeth, Southworth, Stolen Society. That's 5 bands, $10.
A little bit of something for everybody.
All ages.
It's going to be fun.
We'll be back after Hope by Marsalis. You can catch our interview with them on our SoundCloud and on the brand new KGRG.com.
It's live.
Brand new, sucker. We out.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's time to do a little thing we call Hashed Out. Because we all like hash browns.
All right, Cork. Yummy. We've been needing to hash this out for a long time.
Is it my hash brown addiction?
It is.
Is this my hash brown addiction?
This is your, what are those things called?
Intervention?
This is your hashvention.
Hashvention. I like that. Hashtag hashvention.
Aw, you guys care about me.
No, we just want you to stop eating them all. We want some too, damn it.
Exactly.
I'm going to cause the second Irish potato famine single-handedly,
man. Don't you dare.
But stuff for Hash It Out, where Dave has some hashtags, and we're going to talk about them.
Yes, we go on the Twitterverse and Instagram and pretty much anywhere a hashtag can and is used and find the weirder ones, and we try to make our own contributions to them. We tweeted out what they were today, and so far no responses, so you still got time to get yours in, and we might read it on air.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yes.
I know you are, and I'm kind of scared right now. I'm glad that one's last.
Hashtag hash it out.
But we're going to start out with hashtag less graceful ways to leave. Like by ambulance. That's a Danica's right there.
Yeah, definitely.
man, I get an escort.
Say goodbye to a person, then walk the same direction as them. I hate that so much.
When you show up to prom with a date and you leave without her.
When you show up to prom with two dates and leave with one.
Stepping on a Lego.
I mean, at least you got one, man.
Yeah.
At least you have one.
Walking away and stepping on a Lego.
Oh. My foot just hurt just thinking about that. On a, quote, hoverboard.
Well, the Pope, though, it wasn't the Pope, it was like the bishop or whatever.
The Pope had a hoverboard.
With your pants down.
It was some religious figure there on the, like, hoverboard that was on fire. That looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a hell of a way to go, man.
And hashtag less graceful ways to leave out of the cell phone store with a Galaxy Note 7.
Oh. How you can't fire me, I quit.
You were already fired, though.
Yeah, true. What about, no, I don't think I can say that.
When in doubt, leave it out.
Is it too soon for suicide bombings?
It's always too soon for suicide bombings. No lie, I saw somebody, they just put a bunch of boxes, like the Galaxy Note 7 boxes as a Halloween costume.
Ooh, okay. Trying to push open a door that clearly says pull.
Yeah.
Yes! Especially after you do the you can't fire me, I quit thing, and then try and storm out, and then you push instead of pull.
Trying to slam a revolving door.
Yes.
I got this. When you get mad at someone, you scream at them, well, fine! And then you go to get in the elevator, and the elevator takes 5 minutes. And you're just standing there staring at them.
It's still fine!
It's still fine! All
right. Next one is hashtag Halloween musicals.
Oh! Hocus Pocus!
That's not a musical.
It's not a musical, but it's...
Well, it could be.
Like The Sound of Mutilation?
Oh.
The Book of Norman?
Don't you dare.
Guys and Voodoo Dolls?
No.
I'm dead now.
Well, I heard from the peanut gallery out there, Tommy, Midler on the Roof.
Yeah.
I think Murderer on the Roof.
Scary Cats.
Oh, that's
a
good one, yeah.
I like that. I've seen Cats Scary live. Cats. It was wonderful.
The Thing and I?
Oh...
I'm bad at musicals, I'm sorry.
My Fair Zombie.
I'm an uncultured swine.
You are.
Les Miserables?
Oh, no. I'm always miserable with that one.
Les Miserables? I don't know. I don't do anything.
I'm about to say, you're a theater person.
I am not.
There, H. Quinn.
I'm actually not a theater person.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yes! I think Danica won that one.
Cat Beret. Cat Beret.
Do
you want to move on to the third one?
Yeah.
I'm scared too. I'm trying to draw this out as long as possible because I'm really
Lethally
frightened.
Blonde.
Yes! Fine. And Cork, you started off then. Hashtag horrifying cereals.
Because Jell-O came out with a new cereal.
No!
Cosmios.
No!
Oh, you mean like
Best
cereal?
Best part of waking up.
Oh,
is rupees in your cup.
No!
Because then you don't wake up.
I say the best part of waking up is when they don't talk with the Jell-O
bacon flavored Cheerios.
That's not horrifying. That's delicious.
Yeah,
that sounds.
Children of the Corn Chicks.
Oh Jesus! Like
frosted snakes.
Look at me. I'm the Captain Now Crunch.
Okay, this one's the most horrifying. Huh? Raisin Bran.
Razor Brand.
Yeah,
Raisin Bran because it's gross, but also Raisin
it is
Bran.
Not gross.
Shredded wort.
Oh.
Rice Krispies.
Frosted Snakes.
Hillary Bunches. At least that's what it says on the internet.
Skin-A-Man Toast Crunch.
No.
See, that almost sounds like Skin-A-Max, and I'm okay with that.
Applejack the Ripper.
Rice Krispies.
I said that one already.
Oh, you did?
Frosted Mini Feet.
No!
So many feet.
Fruity Gravel.
Burnt Toast Crunch.
Frosted Mini Me's. Actually, that makes me happy.
No, we don't need a lot more mini-me's.
This one just says Honey Nut Spaghetti.
Wow! Not gonna lie, I try that.
Toot Loops.
But that...
That was your hashtag with the Jell Pudding Pop.
No!
Terrifying... musicals
Potatoes.
And your less graceful ways to leave. If you have a contribution, we'll still read them. If you tweet them at us at TheBuzzKGRG, use the hashtag that you want to contribute to and don't kill us anymore.
Hashtag contribute.
We got your word of the week coming up next. I got a question for you though, Dave.
Is it about Bill Cosby and the Cosbios?
No, it's Martin Sheen or JFK.
Oh, Martin Sheen all the way.
Oh yeah? Martin Sheen or JFK by Yellow Card on 89.9 KGRG FM. Ironically, if you want to win Yellow Card tickets to the farewell tour, show up Saturday to the KGRG Fall Blood Drive Show.
Yep. Yay. Everyone gets a chance.
You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Summoner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And it's time for your word of the week.
What did they want me to look at, by the way?
Huh?
What did Patrick want me to look at, by the way?
Ugliness in the face.
I thought there was
look in the mirror.
I thought it was because there was no line at the snack bar. I mean, who wouldn't want to look at that?
That's true.
But your word of the week is accountability.
Oh.
Not to be confused with account to hillbillies
or bubble buddy.
Well, account to hillbillies are the guys who like do your taxes, but also play the banjo and be all deliberate.
What if your account to hillbilly is your account to billabuddy?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's how you go, man, that's how you go.
I was going to say, are we talking like Mama Clampett?
I was about to say, the ones
that
shop.
Helping you with your taxes and everything?
Yeah.
But an accountability buddy is a friend, maybe a best friend, so not necessarily a best friend, who you get in trouble with and who is always somewhat responsible for your actions.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had those.
Does that kind of go with that old saying, you know, a good friend will bail you out of jail, but a true friend will be sitting next to you saying, damn, that was fun.
Yep.
Kind of goes with that theme?
More or less.
See, in college, I was that true friend. Like, when I first started college, I was that true friend. Now I'm that good friend where people call us like, hey, I got in trouble. And then I just Picard facepalm and say, where are you at?
Okay. So, I have this friend, Casey.
Okay.
Casey gets me into trouble a lot. Casey and I don't get to hang out that much anymore.
That'll happen.
Fully knowing that tequila makes Cork's clothes come off. Not literally, but
whoa.
I have some fun time with tequila, I'll tell you what. And those are like stories for another day.
Oh,
yes.
God.
He's the first guy who's like, hey buddy, I got some lime here. Know what goes good with lime? Hangovers.
Tequila and I don't get along, so I usually just avoid it.
Same.
Like when I got married, my wife's best friend bought us each a shot of tequila. And I'm sitting there, like, the first question I asked, like, what is it? She goes, tequila. And I went, ugh. Okay. Like, I don't turn down shots because that's, like, insulting to the person who bought it for you. But that one shot of tequila almost floored me. I do not get along with tequila.
But you, Danica, do you have an accountability buddy? Maybe it's playing your baby fight club friends.
Well, it's not a work buddy. It's not really a person.
Wow.
My accountability buddy is Jack Daniels. He gets into lots of trouble.
Jack will get you in trouble.
I had somebody else in mind for you, but you both would get injured so much you wouldn't be able to get in trouble.
Who?
Stardog.
I was thinking.
I've never had it. Kind of scared to try now.
Stardog?
Yep.
The pledge drive show, the last pledge drive show where I just was gone the whole time because of him.
Yep. And then the Zorball incident.
Oh my god. Homeboy couldn't get out of a... He injured himself in a plastic bubble.
He did.
My friend wouldn't let me do the Zorball.
There's a reason.
Oh my god. So Dave, what about your accountability buddy?
Yeah, I have one of these growing up. My friend Adam. I was a good kid except around him. We would like cut school and... Glad my parents aren't listening. cut school, like, do just weird things. But yeah, I've had my accountability buddy through the years. I don't
it's
have
nice
one.
To have one, though.
I don't have one now, though.
Yeah, it's hard to have one.
It would probably be you guys.
Well, like, I was always kind of a good kid in high school. I don't think I ever really cut a class. But
you just cut people in class?
No.
Cut it. Out.
I was just a good kid.
Did you just Dave call you?
Oh, I did.
I mean, I always had those friends that I would be willing to get in trouble with. It just never really happened.
Right.
You
it's
know?
Like, you try to get in trouble, it's like, no, you did a good thing. No!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was your word of the week this morning. Accountability buddy on 89.9 KGRG. If you want to support KGRG and KGRG1, your classic alternative, all you have to do is, be a part of our... Fall Pledge Drive Show. I almost said spring.
You did.
I almost said spring, but it's Fall Pledge Drive Show here at Green River College. You get 5 bands, $10, including this one is Southworth, Dwell, 89.9 KGRG.
One of these three contestants ain't got time for that. Tommy J, Adanica, or Cork.
And now it's time to play everyone's new favorite game show, Buzz It, with your host, Dave.
I am here, and it is time for trivia with Trivia Master Dave.
Drink it in, man.
I was going to say, it makes me laugh every time Corey screams, Dave's not here.
Actually, that's from the Cheech and Chong movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
Yep. It sounds like Cork, though.
It does. It's good stuff.
Yep. I'm sure it was, right, Cork?
I love Cheech and Chong, man.
Yep. But it is time for trivia. Aaron's still not showing up.
So. Yeah, you weren't kidding, Dave. I don't have time for this. I actually have to pee kind of badly, so we got to make this quick.
Oh, we're going to stretch this out now.
Question number one. What planet in our solar system is known as Earth's twin?
Tommy.
I can't talk today. Tommy.
Venus.
It is Venus. I can't talk today.
I blame the proctor.
You blame the proctor?
Yep.
I don't have a proctor. What's my excuse?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Question number two. In which city would you find Wembley Stadium?
Tommy? London?
Cork, you really don't have time for this, do you?
Did he say lemons?
He said London.
Oh. It sounded like lemons.
I said London.
Question number three. Which Western nation underwent the, quote, Quiet Revolution in the 1960s?
Danica.
Not Danica.
I don't know why, but all those weird Canada stories today is making me think Canada.
It's the most Canadian thing ever. They did a Quiet Revolution.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm sitting there thinking, It's like, no, the French actually had a few revolutions. Can't say America.
Nope.
Because we've never had a quiet revolution.
No. Be loud.
Question number four. In what European country would you find the islands Sylt, Fort, and Amrum?
Tommy. UK?
Cork. France.
Danica. Ireland?
Cork.
Wales.
Tommy. Italy.
Anyone else? I have multiple choice.
Let's just... It's going to be a long game.
In what European country can you find the islands Sylt, Fort, and Amrum? Is it France, Spain, the UK?
Cork. Spain.
Or Germany?
Danica. Germany. That was going to be my second guess.
I was literally waiting for the rest of them. No, we already tried that one. It's got to be this last one.
Germany has islands.
Huh.
I didn't know that either.
And sausage.
And plenty of sausage. Question number five.
That was creepy.
Drink it in, man.
Was that creepier?
No, that was better.
Okay.
Giggity.
Question number five. In which decade did Elvis Presley release the song Jailhouse Rock?
Tommy.
Cork barely.
70s.
Tommy.
Whoa. 50s.
It was the 50s. 1957.
The 70s? I think he died in the 70s.
Yeah. He did. Question number six.
David Bowie's still releasing stuff, man.
By the way.
So is Tupac.
By the way, quick score recap. Tommy with 3, and Danica with 2. Question number 6.
What's up, Cork?
The Fame Monster was an international...
Adanica? Lady Gaga.
Was an international hit album for what singer? Super Bowl performing... Lady Gaga this year.
She was amazing in American Horror Story, by the way.
A lot of people are looking forward to this halftime show, and I think I'm one of them. It's got to be better than last year's.
Oh, I hope so.
I forget who last year's was.
A lot of people do, but it was freaking Coldplay. That's who it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Coldplay. You had Bruno Mars again.
Because they knew Coldplay couldn't draw. Question number 7. Which Australian animal has unique fingerprints similar to humans?
Cork.
Tommy.
Cork?
Koalas.
He's on the board.
Proud of you, buddy.
3-3-1. Question number 8. How many degrees of longitude are associated with the prime meridian?
Cork.
Mm.
0.
He's really going to do this. 3-3-2. Question number 9. What is the lightest implement used in an Olympic throwing event?
Tommy. Javelin?
It was a javelin. 4-3-2. You need a Danica to tie this up to have a shot. Which means it's not going to happen. Question number 10.
Really?
Which country was formerly known as East Pakistan?
A Danica. Iran?
Tommy. Somalia?
A Danica.
Cork gets a try.
Istanbul.
Not Constantinople. A Danica, you buzzed in.
Afghanistan? I don't know. Multiple choice.
North Dakota.
Multiple choice.
Which country is formerly known as East Pakistan? Was it Kashmir, Myanmar, Bangladesh, or Laos?
Danica.
A Danica?
Bangladesh.
You were so lucky, Cork.
Oh.
4-4-2. Remember, a Danica and Tommy get first crack. If they both get it wrong, Cork gets a shot. Question number tiebreaker. Heineken beer originated in what country?
Tommy.
Danica.
Tommy.
Germany.
Danica.
A Danica.
Sweden.
Cork.
Holland.
Holla! Such a crock! It's a good thing I know nothing about beer.
Man, I'm going to go pee real quick. I'll see you guys later.
Is that your victory speech?
Yep.
All right.
You're welcome.
Wait, Corey, I want to tell you how much I'm proud of you before you go.
Because of my drinking problem?
No, just because I want to stall you and make you pee your pants.
What?
I just want to keep talking right now.
So do I. Because that means he can't leave.
That means he can't leave because we're still on air. You know, Cork.
Oh, wait, he's taking the headphones off.
That was the worst performance you've ever had. It's like the Texans on Sunday night, and they still won.
You have to be louder than a DJ to get to him. By Billy Talon right here on KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. The news with H. Quinn is up next.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is sponsored by the Jet City Comic Show, featuring guests such as actor Roger Cross from FX's The Strain and Deadpool artist Pete Woods. For a full list of guests and tickets, you can visit JetCityComicShow.com.
You just made the list!
Right, though?
Yeah, you did.
If you want to make the guest list to Jet City Comic Show, all you have to do is call 253-335-004, because we got your hookup to the two-day passes for the Jet City Comic Show.
All right, everyone, it's H. Quinn here with your 7:30-ish news. Starting off today in King County, where a local firefighter has gone missing. Ken Ward is a firefighter with Mountain View Fire and Rescue and was last seen on Saturday. Ward has been with Mountain View for 10 years, is 43, 6'2", and 222 pounds. He was last seen around 9 a.m. on Saturday in Roslyn, Washington, and anyone with information is asked to contact the Renton Police Department. Now to Lacey, where a Good Samaritan has been injured trying to stop a DUI /hit-and-run suspect. The DUI driver was attempting to make a getaway when a Good Samaritan reached in the car and grabbed the steering wheel, attempting to stop the driver. At that point, the driver really just didn't care, and he just decided, I'm gonna keep driving. The Good Samaritan was dragged onto the vehicle, but emerged alive, albeit with a broken arm, cracked ribs, some scrapes, and bruises. The police state that the man is a 63-year-old veteran and was just trying to do the right thing. Finally, over in South Hill, a Denny's was robbed at gunpoint. The man who robbed the Denny's is a serial robber and is believed that he is responsible for 4 robberies in the past month, one being at a local hotel just the other night. The police did manage to disable the robbers he was attempting to get away and performed life-saving measures, and the suspect is expected to survive.
You hear that, Dave? He's going to steal your...
I was about to say, is my CTC out there still? He better be.
He's going to steal your cereal, your Bill Cosby's.
For something that is now absolutely adorable, an injured mockingbird was given itty-bitty, teeny-tiny little snowshoes to help save its feet because the poor bird suffers from knuckling where its toes curl under. It's so sad.
Oh, Bab.
It's very painful, but it's adorable. You should so look up the pictures. A quick little bit blip. A quick little blurb on sports. Your Dodgers won last night 6-2-0, and they're over the Cubs in the third game of the NLCS. They lead the series 2-1. Now for your weather. Currently it is 42, and it feels like 42 degrees. Mostly cloudy with a high of 55 and a low of 48. And for your traffic, the southbound I-5 on and off ramps at North East North Gateway will be closed from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. overnight Wednesday and Thursday. There's currently no blocking incidents. And if you're trying to come up to Green River, the traffic's actually not as terrible as it could have been today. But there's still it's still pretty slow, and there's a parking lot whether or not you're coming up the 167 northbound or coming down southbound from Kent.
Well, I-5's become friggin' garbage town ever since they readjusted the 16 exit.
Oh, yeah.
There was an accident, like, two cars in front of me this morning because people don't know how to merge. The zipper merge is not a viable solution. Stop telling people to do the zipper merge, DOT. It is not a natural thing.
Fun. All right. Well, have a good one, everybody, and stay safe out there.
Thanks, Quinn.
By the way, Cork, yep. We have a response from our former intern, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron!
He could have beat you today.
Yeah?
He knows that he could have beat you today.
Yeah?
But he didn't show up.
Really? Come on, Aaron.
I mean, showing up is half the battle.
There you go.
There you go.
Go, one, Joe. So I think he missed the bus, didn't he?
Oh, no.
Sure, he did.
I think he missed the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. All right.
So we're vetting until the bus gets here. We're vetting until the bus gets here.
You know, I got the Google Maps on this. I'm a following the
you
bus
You got
around.
The Google Maps?
Wait a minute. You get that on a flip phone?
On the computer.
I have a computer, okay.
We'll be back with the six-pack after some very promiscuous pickles on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to Buzz.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with the Buzz.
89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to the Buzz. Yeah, RIP that guy. Is he still leaving weird notes on your desk?
I don't know.
And like pictures of Bruce Willis?
That was already there.
I did see something in the AM booth this morning. It said, new schedule, guess who this is, on a random square.
Is he back?
Guess who's back?
I'm wondering.
Oh, man, we need to get that mofo up
here. Andrew need to hang out and send him more weird Snapchats.
It's time for our six-pack, top six list of things that are awesome, not so awesome. This morning, it's Danica's turn.
Oh, boy.
Yes, it is.
And it's a little furry this morning, huh?
Cats that save lives, because not all heroes wear capes.
Did they stop any cat burglars?
No.
Anybody?
Yeah, no.
Anybody?
Nope.
Crickets.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No, Bender.
Nope.
All right.
So, number six.
Wait.
It's cats that save lives. That's what it is.
I know, but wait. Number six.
I'm leaving the show.
Actually, I lost my headphones. I can just imagine her face right now.
It was gold.
I'm leaving the show. I swear to God that happens every time I'm leaving. You've heard my words, Eric.
Take it to the limit.
Major Tom saves owner from a sinking yacht.
Did ground control call him?
I was literally singing that.
So, cats have a long history with boats, having been brought aboard ships to eliminate vermin, keep sailors company, and even to serve as good luck talismans. However, Major Tom, a black and white cat who lived aboard a yacht named Osprey, with his owner, Australian Grant McDonald, proved to be far more than just a lucky charm for his human companion. In September of 2015, the Osprey, positioned about 40 miles off the western Australian coast, began taking on water, and McDonald, who was asleep, would likely have remained unaware of the danger, except that Major Tom woke him up at 5 a.m. with repeating headbutting. Unlike many cats, however, Major Tom wasn't just alerting his person that it was time for cat breakfast to be served, but rather that they were both in danger. After getting up, McDonald quickly realized that the boat was flooded and made the decision to abandon ship. He exited to a life raft with only with only enough time to grab just one piece of precious cargo off the boat, Major Tom. Hours later, the two were rescued by a Chinese merchant vessel, and after McDonald was treated at the hospital, man and cat were happily reunited.
Aww.
And because the Osprey was a total loss, McDonald, who credits his cat with saving both of their lives, noted that both he and Major Tom would have to adjust to a landlubber life together.
Aww.
See, the only Australian sailor I can think of is Russell Crowe.
Here's a picture.
Where he fights with the boat.
There's a picture of the of cat and cat owner. Major Tom looks like he's done.
Aw. Well, he has a cat, so he probably is done.
Well, he took his cat on a boat.
That's a whole problem by itself.
And shout out to Stardog, because there's a gif of someone zorbed in a zorb ball on this website.
Was the cat in there with him?
No. That thing would have popped.
Woo!
Number five.
And... Whoa. Aw.
I was like, what's happening?
I was expecting guitar riff crack open.
Are we not doing the guitar riff every time?
If that happens, I will massacre everyone in this building. Just saying.
Tommy, run. She's right next to you.
Hey, I'm calling her bluff, man. Do it every time. Let's see what happens.
No, I will rage quit the show. Baby, the feline fire detector. Hmm. So 13-year-old Baby, a tabby and white house cat, was generally a pretty aloof and timid cat. But when the lives of her human family were on the line, she developed a personality of a lion. Working furiously to prepare their house for the impending arrival of their twins, Josh Ornberg and Letitia Kowalski, that's a fun word to say, fell asleep on the couch of their suburban Chicago home on a Sunday night in January 2010. When a fire began in the back room, the couple remained conked out, oblivious to the danger around them as smoke filled the home. When Josh woke up, it was because he was startled by Baby's uncharacteristic behavior. Never a cat lap, Baby started jumping repeatedly on Josh's lap, eventually waking him and alerting him to the danger. Ornberg tried to put out the fire with an extinguisher, but quickly realized that the blaze was well beyond his capability and called 911. Baby, followed by the couple and the family's dog, Blackjack, rushed out of the house to safety. Ornberg calls Baby a hero while acknowledging that the rescue was at the hands or paws of a feline senior citizen. And he said it was kind of embarrassing that he was rescued by his cat.
So,
why be embarrassed? Pets do that.
Right?
You never put Baby in a fire.
But Baby disappeared for a few days after the fire, but she was eventually lured back to her family with some tuna and rewarded with some extra treats for her life-saving fire detection.
So, remember all those months ago when I said I was a cat person and I couldn't stand dogs? This is why. Dog was lazy.
Baby didn't start the fire.
I mean, that actually kind
of...
That's actually kind of disturbing that he's embarrassed to be saved by his cat. You wouldn't be embarrassed if your dog saved you, but you're embarrassed that your cat saved you?
Well, it's a cat, so...
I don't care.
I know, but...
If my pet saves me, it's because that pet, A, cares about me, and B, wants me to live. And C, knows that I'm the one that can save them, too. So it's kind of a partnership, you know?
Like, if they die, I don't get food. Save
exactly.
Them.
And my cats do wake me up in the morning when they want breakfast.
Wake me up.
Like they won't go near my wife, but they will because they know that I'll get up eventually.
I can't wake up.
No. Don't have wake me up syndrome.
Number four.
Uh-huh.
Fidge is a derpy little cat and he detected some deadly cancer in his owner.
Oh.
So house pets have a much better sense of smell than their human family members. Dogs have a sense of smell more than 50 times stronger than cats. And cats more than 15 times stronger than humans. This property has led to some study for a potential of dogs to sniff out human cancers, and it had some like promising early findings, I guess. But this woman named Wendy Humphreys, this is worded really weirdly, a 52-year-old British woman, is convinced that her kitten Fidge saved her life by detecting her breast cancer. Just a few weeks after Fidge, a black and white cat, was adopted by Wendy and David Humphreys when she was 8 weeks old, she began acting strangely. The kitten began repeatedly jumping up on Wendy's right breast whenever Wendy sat down. After a couple of weeks of this, Wendy, who felt bruised after Fidge's repeated forays, visited her doctor, who detected a lump in her breast. The lump proved malignant, and Wendy said that a Fidge in an interview that she saved her life, definitely, and that if she hadn't been diagnosed when she was, she could have died.
Well, I know that there are pets, especially dogs, that they'll use to are for your people with diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And those can detect low blood sugar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How did I win this morning?
How did you win this morning?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Aaron wasn't here. That's why.
Where he at, though?
Not on the bus.
Not who, Dat? Where, Dat?
Well, those numbers 6, 5, and 4 of your 6-pack of feline friends who are super helpful. We'll be back after Bullets by Blue Helix. They're playing the KGRG Fall Pledge Drive show on Saturday here at Green River College. Tickets just $10, get you 5 bands. Super fun time. We'll be there.
And now, back to the 6-pack.
89.9 KGRG FM, Blue Helix, they're going to be playing the Fall Pledge Drive show Saturday, October 22nd. Again, $10 at the door.
And what station is that supporting?
You know, that one that we're on.
The KGRG FM, KGRG FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM.
The other one.
Yep.
And another one.
And the rest of this 6-pack is brought to you by Cork, who doesn't warn people that it's time to go back on.
Hold on.
Uh-oh. He has something for this. I don't know what, but he has something for this.
He's taking his sweet time.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Yeah, you are.
There's your legal ID, you son of a bitch. All right, let's go to the rest of our six pack here.
Cats who saved people.
Yay, cats.
So Major Tom, a little black and white cat, saved his owner and himself from a sinking yacht. Baby, the feline fire detector, saved her people from their house being on fire. She cool. And Fidge, a little derpy cat, saved her owner from breast cancer.
I like how it's a derpy cat.
No, I added the derpy cat part.
But still, I like that.
It looks a little derpy in the picture.
So,
but it's still cute.
So what number are we on then?
Number 3.
Yes!
I'm not coming tomorrow.
Wait. Can the cat save my face from being melted off? Because that just melted my face!
She took off her headphones, but I'm still alive.
It's over today. Come back to us.
Come back.
I will be gone forever after this day. Pudding saves his diabetic owner.
Pudding?
Hey, diabetes!
Oh, bitch.
Pudding, an 8-year-old, 21-pound orange cat,
which
has been adopted. Yeah, Pudding has diabetes, probably. got on his big break. Along with his feline friend, Whimsy, this gentle cat was adopted. Or was it a gentle giant? He was adopted from the Humane Society when Amy Jung and her son, Ethan, made a spur-of-the-moment choice to bring the pair home. However, just as he joined his new family, Pudding repaid the favor and then some, saving the life of his new owner. The night of Pudding's adoption, Amy, who has type 1 diabetes, went to bed. Shortly thereafter, she began having diabetic seizure in her sleep. Pudding literally jumped into action, launching his girth into Amy's chest, trying to rouse her. When that failed, he began biting and nipping her face. Amy woke up briefly and called for Ethan. When her sleeping son didn't hear her, Pudding ran to his bedroom and pounced on him until he woke up and was able to call for help for his mom. Amy credits Pudding with saving her life. Since his heroic actions, Pudding has been trained as a therapy animal, meowing at Amy's feet when he senses her blood sugar is low. As amazing as Pudding's story is, he isn't the only cat to have saved a diabetic owner. A British cat named Pippa has repeatedly saved the life of his family's diabetic child by alerting her family to hypoglycemic episodes.
I've heard that Pepe's racist, though.
Pippa.
Pippa, okay, not Pepe.
Wow, what are you trying to tell us, Cork?
Makes him sad. Makes him sad, Pepe.
Do you want to go on to number...
Duchess warns family of a python attack.
Do you want to go on to number 2?
This is number 3. As anyone who's seen the somewhat cruelty viral videos of cats freaking out about cucumbers can attest,
yes,
cats are genetically hardwired to despise anything that remotely resembles a snake. However, when Tess Gunthery's cat Duchess started acting weird, hissing, behaving anxiously, refusing to eat for several days, Tess didn't suspect the presence of a snake. Instead, she called the vet for a consultation about Duchess, believing that the cat's uncharacteristic actions were a sign of illness. However, Tess and her 2-year-old daughter, Zara, who live in Lismore, Australia, were about to find out that what was bothering Duchess. And the only problem was that there was an unsettling presence of a python in the family home. The same night that she telephoned the vet, Tess awoke in the bed she was sharing with her daughter, and startled by Duchess's aggressive, persistent hissing. Using the light from her mobile phone, Tess made a horrifying discovery. A 6-foot python was coiled around the arm of her sleeping toddler.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Thanks to Duchess sounding the alarm, Tess was able to free Zara from the snake. Zara suffered a few non-toxic bites, but was otherwise unharmed. And Duchess was spared a trip to the vet once the reptilian reason for her hysteria was uncovered.
Good cat. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Terrifying, man. Snakes are scary.
I like snakes.
You ever have the you ever walk around with that little prank with the envelope with the, it's got the washer around the rubber band, it says snake eggs in it, so when somebody like tries to open up the envelope, the washer spins and it almost sounds like a rattlesnake?
No.
You never done that?
No. I live in Arizona. We don't joke about that stuff.
I'm from Colorado, so snakes aren't as big of a deal.
Hey, Dave.
But I had an English teacher in high school who was deathly afraid of snakes.
Let's move on to number one about cats.
Hang on, number one?
This is the best one. Homer the blind wonder cat who stopped an intruder in his tracks. Homer, a skinny black cat, did not have an auspicious start in life. His journey began on the streets of Miami. What up? Wandering alone with a tiny kitten.
Is this an 80s detective show?
He was wandering alone as a tiny kitten, and he had a severe eye infection.
Oh.
And when he was brought to vet Patricia Cooley, just 2 weeks old, the Good Samaritan who dropped him off thought that the kindest thing was probably to put the cat to sleep. But Dr. Cooley made a different decision, one that would allow Homer's story to later inspire millions, opting to remove the cat's eyes to save his life in the hopes that some kind adopter would eventually take a chance on a blind tiny kitten.
Aww.
So Gwen Cooper was that rescuer. Quickly enchanted by the feline, she named Homer after the Greek poet who was also blind. 3 years after Gwen welcomed Homer into her heart and her home, she woke one night to the normally easygoing cat growling at her bed. An intruder in her home, just as she had once saved him, Homer now did the same. Launching his tiny body at the invading man, biting and scratching viciously until the man fled, Gwen would later write a best-selling book, Homer's Odyssey, and a sequel to share her cat's amazing story. Homer's inspiring tale prompted more adoptions of blind cats. One rescue advocate sums up Homer's amazing impact in the 6 years of life, saying in a New York Times interview, he's helped save countless lives. You go, little cat.
She wrote Homer's Odyssey?
No, I think I figured it out. Homer is Kung Fury.
I was kind of delayed.
That was your six pack for this morning.
I love it. I love it.
Cats who did super awesome stuff because heroes don't wear capes.
Because Don Johnson.
Yeah, because he's going to murder us all.
I know she is. We might be back at 8:20.
We'll be back with a monster guitar riff.
Yes!
Speaking of murders, we have Facers on Kill. They're going to be coming up and calling in at 8:20. So stay tuned for that super awesome interview.
Let's say we might be here.
Here's Clone by Phasers on Kill 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Good news, everyone. We've got a very special delivery today.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. And we have an interview with a band that you just heard their song Broken. That was Phasers on Kill. And we have other band members on right now to tell us about their show at Numos on October 25th. That's Tuesday, right?
That is a Tuesday, Corey. Yeah, this is Chris. How's everybody doing?
We're doing all right, Chris.
Glad to be with you guys this morning.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're really excited because you guys are from Tacoma. It's always cool to have local bands, especially, you know, Tacoma's near and dear to my heart. So thanks for calling in, man.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about the show, because this show's actually going to be pretty big. It's at Numos. Let's see, the lineup's Face to Face, you have Death by Stereo, and Afterwards, and you guys too. That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be a pretty big show. I mean, Face to Face is one of their first tours. They're kind of cutting through the U.S. up to Canada in support of their new album Protection, which just came out on Fat Records. And so we're gonna be one of the local support bands for them up in Seattle. Definitely a big show for us. I mean, probably the biggest one that we've had yet. And Face to Face is a huge band for us, big influence. We've listened to them for years and years. So it's just, it's great to be able to share a stage with them.
Well, what was it like working up to this point? Because you can't just start off playing Pneumos. Like, you have to grind some of the smaller shows, right?
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we've been a band for about 6 years now, and, I mean, just played lots of local venues all throughout the state, done a few West Coast tours. We just wrapped a short one up a couple weeks ago. Yeah, probably never had the crowd we're going to have on the 25th, so... you know, just doing what we can do to get out there and keep playing in front of, you know, anybody.
Well, what has been some of your favorite experiences just on the grind as a local band?
Oh, man. Let's see. Favorite experiences. Man, we've played some good holiday shows. Holiday shows are always fun. The tours have been good. We played a pretty cool... garage show, man, was it last year? There's this place in Tacoma called the Fifth Dimension, and there's this little garage. It was like on the side of this house, and the lineup was just amazing. Like, there's some out of town bands, but the Brass was there, Ninjas with Syringes was up. Both those guys are from Portland, and then the Hollow Points played, and we played, and it was in this tiny garage, and there's people crawling up on the rafters and crowd surfing. It was just nuts. So, you know, I mean, being a part of kind of a tight knit scene. You know, you get to experience shows like that, just kind of that raw, you know, that's what it's all about.
And you guys are listed as pop punk. Why pop punk for you guys?
Yeah, oh, man, the genre thing, it's tough. Yeah, pop punk, I don't know, maybe more like melodic punk. I mean, I think we're kind of rooted in that the early Fat Records type tones and sound. And so, you know, I think pop punk, man, I don't know. I don't even know what kids think about with pop punk nowadays. That's more like the Newfound Glory type stuff. And
well, Blink-182 just came back, right?
There you go. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I would definitely consider ourselves kind of in that vein more than some of the other, like kind of heavier type sounding pop punk bands. But, yeah, pop punk, melodic punk, it's all pretty catchy, upbeat stuff. We definitely want everybody singing along.
Well, even in your description, it's just hook energy and melodies, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, writing bios is kind of tricky, too. Obviously, you read that. That's good. but, yeah, I mean, I think if you think about, like, the ingredients of what we're doing, that's really the core of it. Like, you know, we want people singing along. We want people jumping around. And we want it stuck in their heads the next day.
Sweet, sweet. And then you guys just released 16 Stairs not too long ago. Tell me a little bit about that and what went into that. Like, what was the recording process for you guys like? I've seen Facebook posts from bands just hanging out in recording studios, sending funny pictures, stuff like that. How's that for you guys?
Yeah, it's always super laid back. Like, so 16 Stairs, it was we did a 7-inch release. There's 3 songs on the release. And we did it like a limited color vinyl pressing through our we got a buddy of ours supporting that release, Snatchy Records. The recording process is, it's super laid back. Like, you know, we knew the 3 songs we wanted to do. We did the recording out at Monkey Trench Studios in Bremerton. And that, you know, we did our first record through them as well. So we know who we're working with. We know where we're going. We know the layout. And all that. And, yeah, I mean, just kind of lay it down. I think that one we might have done in like a weekend. So, yeah, it was pretty easy.
Nice. And that's only, what, $5 for the 16-inch albums to download on Bandcamp?
Yeah, so, right. So the digital release you get through Bandcamp. You can also order the physical record itself, and we can ship that to you. And, yeah, it's $5.
Awesome. So one last question we want to ask before we get you to plug all your stuff and get you out of here. Are you guys a fan of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Where, I missed that. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Yeah. How do you make yours?
Oh, man. Personally, I got a peanut allergy, so I'm not I'm not a big PB&J guy, but...
do you at least get, like, almonds or anything, or is it just no nuts at all?
No, yeah, I could throw in some almond butter. Yeah, you know what? I might, like, lightly toast the bread a bit. I like a little bit of crunch So that would probably be how I'd do it, yeah. And then just keeping it original. Some raspberry jam and yeah, some almond butter. Let's do that.
All right, sounds solid. So your Bandcamp is phasersonkill.bandcamp.com. Do you guys have a Twitter at all?
Yeah, we got Twitter. We're phasers_on_kill. We're also on Instagram, phasers.on.kill. So yeah, you can hit us up there on Facebook. We are trying to sell some of these tickets ahead of the show. You can definitely get them online, get them through the venue. But physically, if you're down in the South End and you just want to hit us up, you save yourself a little bit on the convenience charge, and we can meet up with you anyway and get you these tickets. They're $20 in advance.
$20 in advance, and they can just hit you up on Facebook, right?
Yeah, totally. Or, you know, if people know us individually, you can message us that way too. But, yeah, just reach out any way possible, and we'll try to get you there. We want everybody there, so it's going to be a big show.
For sure. Well, Chris, thanks for calling in.
Thank you guys for having us, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. We got 16 Stairs by Phasers on Kill coming up next, 89.9 KGRG. Chris, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Phasers on Kill, 89.9 KGRG. Again, if you want to catch up at Numos, that was fun.
There they are.
Good stuff.
Again, that show's all ages, $20 if you want to hit him up in advance. You can hit him up on Facebook, on Twitter, and get those super cheap non-convenience fee tickets. That's always nice.
That is.
Because that convenience fee, is not cheap.
So you're saying it's not convenient?
It's
a very inconvenient charge.
Oh, the irony.
I can't believe you made that joke.
I had to. Global ticket markups.
I'm done.
We made two people quit today. That's awesome.
So we got WTF Wednesdays now.
It is WTF News Wednesday.
It's a good lead-in.
It is. I like it.
God. My heart hurts, Dave.
Does it?
Do you need a hug? First news story. All right, story number one for WTF Wednesday. This is coming at... I've got... this is kind of the Euro edition. I've got two stories out of Europe, specifically Spain. A small Spanish town is considering fining a medieval church €16,000 because its bells are too noisy. The town of Mostoles, southwest of Madrid, said Tuesday that following complaints from the residents, town technicians measured the noise level of the chimes of Our Lady of the Assumption Church and found that there were some 30 decibels above the 55 rate permitted by town regulations. Experts say normal conversation product produces 55 to 60 decibels, while an airplane in flight produces 110 to 120. Parish priest parish priest told the newspapers the bells have always been tolling the town, and they were usually only rung at noon before every evening mass. He said he has no idea how the church would pay the fine if enforced.
So what you're saying is for whom the bell tolls has to pay the fee?
Pretty much. And they don't have separation of church and state in Europe, so.
See, what they were doing was they were just preparing for the Undertaker to show up in Spain by just ringing the bell. Just start his entrance now.
That'd be a way to enter.
They put, like, whoever the priest is for that church in a casket?
Yep.
Perfect.
Also coming out of Madrid, this is a good one. I'm not a parent.
I am.
And, okay, you're a parent. So you understand the pains of school supplies, yeah?
Oh, okay. Rant time. Buy your own kids stuff. It's not my responsibility to fund the whole school.
Right.
Also,
no.
Politicians, give schools money.
Shout out to Andrew David Jr.
Yes.
Okay, but as a parent, you know, you've got to buy... I remember my dad having to do this, you know, pencils, paper, erasers, all that jazz.
For you, not the entire school.
Right, no. For me. But just for me, not for the whole school. Like, I remember when my dad would have to buy me school supplies before every school year began.
Yes.
Well, there's this a row over in public schools out in Madrid that is this is gold. Row over a public school's toilet paper supply has broken out in a Spanish town, prompting local officials to step in.
Oh, son of a bitch!
The government-run Rafael Garcia Valino Primary School in Yepes, a town 50 kilometers south of Madrid, recently sent out a list of supplies students need for this year. Among the pens, notebooks, and erasers was an unexpected item, and that is 6 rolls of toilet paper.
No! It's the same thing here, not with toilet paper yet, but Kleenex, sanitary wipes, all that stuff is on my kid's list every year.
Is that for your kid or for the school?
For the school. Because it's like 3... barrels or whatever those things are, the wipes, and then 6 boxes of Kleenex usually.
You're buying what in barrels?
The little like round 2 barrel things of wipes that you just pick the wipe out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, see, we buy everything in barrels. See, yeah, just like oil.
But yeah, that every kid has to buy 3 of those and bring them.
You know, one parent complained on her Facebook page that the requirement was totally surreal. She said that the school told her it didn't have money. Or toilet paper.
Well, this time of year, I always have to carry one of those little packets of them.
Yeah.
Like the little plastic ones you can stick in your back pocket.
They make them unsanitary.
It doubles the toilet paper.
Oh.
The ABC, the Yepes Town Hall has offered to resolve the shortage by supplying rolls for the school.
Good.
But no one could
World
be,
War II?
No one from the school could be reached for comment.
So. I could see that.
Before we get to my last WTF story, I have a fun Halloween story for you. And it's one of those, I looked up weird sports stories. This one popped up. I was like, oh, yeah, this because I knew Cork and Dave, you guys would love these. UFC star Conor McGregor has fired a warning to anyone thinking about coming near him in a killer clown costume. The Irishman is aware of the rather worrying recent craze of people dressing up like clowns and attacking people, but is fully prepared for the situation should it arise. Perhaps unsurprisingly, McGregor is not too worried about having to deal with a potential fight in the street. In fact, he seems well up for it.
Well, here's the thing. If it's Nate Diaz in a clown suit, run.
By God! That clown's eating curb!
He said in an interview, "I've seen people dressing up as clowns. If one came up near me, I would slap the head off."
Did you know Target stopped selling scary clown masks?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
So no more scary clown mask at Target.
I'm not surprised.
The International Clown Union has also reported that...
There's an International Clown Union?
There is.
Well, of course. They've actually reported that bookings for clowns have gone down recently, too.
I wonder why.
All right. Gee,
hey,
let me think.
Wasn't there a clown protest out by the Haunted Forest when we were out there last weekend?
Hey, man, I got touched by a clown.
You
I'm
did.
Still friends with them.
Clown lives matter, man.
Yep.
Okay, last story. Last story, and this is the perfect one for my whole theme with WTF Wednesday, because my objective, yeah, I want to find weird stories. I also want people to make your skin crawl.
Excellent.
So if you're eating right now, might want to stop.
Might want to stop.
Eating your bowl of
Old
Cosbios.
They'd be out by now. They wouldn't hear it anyways.
Hey, you can hear us on demand now.
It's true.
Brand new, KGRG.com.
It's true.
It's also Halloween, so it fits in nicely.
Yep.
This is out of New York.
Phrasing!
Why?
Because it fits in nicely.
All right.
Phrasing!
Anyway, this is out of New York. Police say a man bought a storage unit at auction in New York City and found dozens of dead cats frozen in 2 freezers.
No!
So we go from cats saving people to cats frozen.
Yes.
Did they let it go?
Officers responded to American Self-Storage in the Queens neighborhood of Long Island City on Monday evening. Police say one freezer had frozen cats stacked on top of each other. The other,
jeez,
police say they were individually wrapped in paper and plastic bags.
Well, at least they were keeping them nicely stacked.
Well, if they were frozen, they would have been left in a catatonic state.
No, 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 you don't deserve that.
40 cats total.
Jeez.
Police are searching for an unidentified woman who had originally rented the unit.
When they reached, when they caught up with her, she went,
oh, they're still searching. I mean, but there was a nonprofit, American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They have taken the cats into custody for testing, but the test can't be performed until they've been thawed out.
Oh,
yeah.
So if you think your job sucks.
Yeah, right?
Just know somebody out there is thawing cat right now.
That's disturbing. That's why. That's the whole purpose of WTF Wednesday, especially in October.
Yeah, just
throwing that out there. So, my skin's crawling. She was crawling reading that. It's still crawling. That's disturbing. I need to watch cute cat videos now.
Isn't this the best bed for this right now?
That has been your WTF Wednesday for this week. Coming back next week with more skin crawling stories. I can say
screen crawling.
He'll also be here on campus doing his shift every Saturday. Hey, Tommy, what time is that?
12 to 3 every Saturday.
There you go.
In the afternoon.
I like to give away stuff, too, so...
Yeah,
bro. Give it away now.
You can call me Giveaway Tom. They call me Giveaway Tom, I'm just giving it away.
Shouldn't that be a phrasing?
Hey, phrasing!
But also on Saturday, this Saturday, our Fall Play Drive show featuring Blue Helix, Marsalis, Acid Teeth, Southworth, and this band, Stolen Society. Here's Open Your Eyes, 89.9 KGRG.
Why'd they steal the society?
Blink-182, Bored to Death on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Hopefully they weren't bored to death today.
Right? It's been a fun show, though.
It has.
It's a lot of guests. Shout out to Jet City Comic Show. Again, if you want tickets to that, two-day passes.
You get both days.
For free.
And it's two-day passes, right?
It's 2 days for free.
Okay, so you get 4 2-day passes.
It's too many numbers for me, man.
No, two passes. Two-day passes.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say.
For free.
Right, I got you now. So it's two-day passes. They're free.
Stop confusing me.
Two tickets, basically, for free.
For both days.
So bring a friend, bring a date, whatever you want, just call.
If you want to find out about it, you can check out the new KGRG.com.
Yes, I'm going to be there, and I'm not going to be wearing pants.
Well, I'm going to be there. Because you'll probably wear a dress.
I don't want to ruin the surprise now.
Wait, what?
I hope you're are you going as, like, sexy Harambe for Halloween or something?
No!
Yes.
Nobody should ever do that.
Oh, I hope so.
No.
I hope so. Again, thanks to Mike from Phasers on Kill for calling in. He's going to be at Numos on the 25th. That's a Tuesday. All ages. Hit him up on Facebook, on Instagram, at Phasers on Kill if you want free, convenience-free tickets.
And I think we got handed a note earlier.
Oh, yeah. There's some Mamathites.
Mamad with Mamad?
I'm hoping so.
I hope Mamad calls those.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Because that needs to happen.
Thumbtacks.
Exactly.
That's going to be happening on Saturday, but, you know, the Pledge Drive show is also happening on Saturdays, and it's also going to be on Green River campus.
So, wait a minute. What you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, Cork, is that stuff is still happening here on campus.
Also, for Pledge Drive, we're going to have backpacks.
What?
For Pledge Drive, we're going to have backpacks.
Okay. We are, actually. That's a scary thing. We are. Hey, twin. Yeah, they're backpacks.
Come here.
Oh, my God.
Tell the people about the thing real quick.
Uh-oh. Quinn's going to tell us.
You got a question.
Last I checked, it was a messenger bag.
No, what's the question, though?
Oh, the question!
The answer.
If you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Poison, so I don't have to deal with this anymore.
You know, for that, we should play guitar bed.
I'm about to say, we need guitar riff.
And I'm out. Good night, America. It's warm.
Good night, America.
Oh, my God.
Hang on. Good night, who?
America. America. America.
Danica, we have to say goodbye.
You gotta say goodbye, Danica.
Bye.
So long, Danica.
Farewell, Danica.
We love you, Danica.
Avini said goodbye, Danica.
Goodbye.
She's gone.
Danica. We love you, Danica.
It's still going. Oh, this has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m.
I hope we'll be back. I think Danica might kill us. I think it's finally happened this time.
She won't kill me, so.
We might also be Gone with the Wind by Architects. I thought it was over. Oh, I don't know what to do anymore.
Could you imagine trying to play this bed on Guitar Hero?
Oh, God. But Be Good Humans better than us. It's not that hard.
Oh, son of a bitch!
That's a nice.